If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band that is, I guess for starters, before we even get into anything else, you guys have an excellent name. I think that, you know...
Thank you.
So maybe that's a place to start. Before we get into anything, I was going to do a big intro, but I want to start with the name because it's equal parts ridiculous and awesome. And I think the best way to start is if the three of you want to introduce yourselves, what you do in the band, and then what is the sort of backstory behind Whalehammer, because yeah, it's a great name.
For sure, I'll start. My name is Rob. I play drums in the band, make a bunch of noise behind the guys doing the thing. And Whalehammer, long story short, from my perspective, was a band that started with myself and my cousin. We had some former iterations that were a different sound, and it's always been a concept of trying to, it's like Evel Knievel making the attempt. Like, it's always been an attempt to try and make this sound. It's not really about landing, it's about making the attempt. So we've gotten it from A to like Z now. We're way over here with a different thing, and we got this guy doing the stuff with us now, and it's an awesome sound configuration. What's your take on that, Josh?
I'm Josh. I handle all the technical aspects, more or less. That's a lot of production. It's a lot of mixing. It's a lot of recording. It's guitar, synthesizer, a couple other things, I'm sure. Bass is what I occasionally... I do bass on the recordings. So I don't know.
Okay, I don't play bass live.
And then usually I use a bass synth for all the live recording stuff. But yeah, that's my role.
I'm Roger. I guess after that whole lengthy thing, I travel pretty light. I show up with a songbook, a microphone, and a can-do attitude.
Right.
So, singer-songwriter, yeah, motivator. Yeah, I chase him with cars sometimes just to get his cardio up for his drum performance.
Stay sharp.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You need to keep your energy levels up. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, it's a Whalehammer. I mean, the name, I don't want to dwell on the name the whole time. I just think it's a funny name and I like it. So what is the significance of the name? Where did that come from? I mean, you kind of gave a bit of background about how long you've been doing this and stuff, but who came up with the name and why Whalehammer?
I think, honestly, it took us a long time to land on a name that we weren't really, that needed to be original, that nobody had. And like, I remember spending like a good week Googling every possible option and answer, and pretty much every cool word you can think of, there's a band.
Every one word name too.
Sure.
Because like a lot of the time it's
nobody has
something of the something or blah, 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 blah. You know, we just wanted a one word thing, and it just happened, just came. And yeah, I don't know. There was like power and ferocity in it. I really like that about it. But I don't honestly know the origin of it, the origin story.
That's the one that stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been through iterations and different incarnations, and this is the one that just happened.
We were a two-piece initially. We started out,
right.
We played places like the Bark Theater and all over the city.
Johnny, two-piece.
Right? And we came across this mutant alien cyborg guy over here, and now we have a whole new thing going on. It's mind-blowing, actually, where we're at with this new sound.
Well, very exciting.
Maybe that's the place to go from here, then, is
yeah.
I hate asking this question. Everyone hates answering it, but...
Yeah.
How do you define the sound of the band? Because, I mean, I think that, again, with the name, it evokes something. Yeah, I mean, Whalehammer evokes something heavy for sure, right? But other than that, that could be, I mean, heavy can go in all different directions and can really encompass a lot of different styles of music. So do you have sort of a Cole's Notes version of how you would explain, if someone says, hey, I hear you have a band, what do you do? How do you sort of...
It's like if industrial music and alternative rock music got stuck in the teleporter from the movie The Fly, and then also like...
made out in the elevator in The Fly.
It's a fusion of so many things that I'm just going to call it kind of alternative electronic rock based stuff.
It's really hard to put an actual genre name on.
Yeah.
And I like that. That's my favorite thing about it. We didn't want to get pigeonholed into a certain genre or subgenre or preconceived thing. because the sound goes like literally all over the map, right?
Yeah, no two songs are the same in like the many, what is it, like 10 or plus songs that we've been working on lately.
Yeah, it's not so far gone though where it's not identifiable, because that tends to be the case with a lot of experimental type music. Sure. Which is very cool. I definitely love seeing some of that stuff, but we wanted to still keep it within the realm of like melody.
Right. So you're anchored in something that makes kind of linear sense rather than just being some complete experimental freakout, right? Got it. So
yeah.
Does that sort of nebulous nature of the band's sound, is that something you did deliberately, or is that just sort of what naturally came out based on all the stuff you guys listened to?
That's actually, yeah, the latter. It was a combination of influences, places we wanted to go, things that we just always loved in other people's stuff, I guess. And it just got thrown into this mixer and this blend and came out.
In a sense, it was deliberate because we have been crafting since we've played. How long has it been since our last gig that we did?
We did a test run just to try out some stuff about, what, a year and a half ago?
Since then, we've been really grinding and crafting on these new kind of sounds.
In secret.
Kind of experiments we've been trying to do. So in a way, it's very much both.
Okay.
That's a good way to put it.
Sound by like deliberate senses, but also kind of like stumbled upon it the same way.
Like not setting out to make a certain sound, but like we're trying to forge some, like, yeah, it's different sounds, I guess you could say, and not run of the mill plug and play stuff essentially, right?
Right.
What about you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I like that answer. So, I mean, this is, like you said, it's been a while since you've, it sounds like your shows are kind of well-placed, right? Are you sort of deliberately choosing when and where to play? I know you have music coming out soon, and that's probably part of it, but has that been sort of the plan, is just picking your spots as far as playing live?
Yeah, we didn't want to rush anything, because, like, for example, the first single we put out, Broken Fixer, it's on all streaming platforms right now, I believe, right? Spotify and all that. And we wanted to take the time to craft each song beat by beat, like everything from the ground up, and not just rush things. Like Broken Fixer took from the time of original writing to where we got it roughly a year.
Well, when you say original, right?
Well, no, but like roughly about a year from an acoustic idea to the thing that it is now.
Yeah. And then there was the time spent in studio recording the parts and then editing it after.
No Fun Club.
Going through different... No Fun Club, shout out. Then there was different versions afterwards of just trying out different textures and layers.
Sure.
And there's a lot of layers in that track.
How many synths are on there?
I couldn't tell you. There's a lot.
With that in mind, though, with those layers in mind, like, how does this translate, I guess, from the studio versions to the live versions then? Because if you have, you know, a bunch of synth layers,
good point.
Obviously with three of you, it's going to be somewhat different. What is sort of the, what is the difference between the live tracks and then the way you have it in the studio?
Yeah, the layers will, some of them, get used live as a backing track.
Okay.
Just to add a little bit extra. As the limitation of only having three people, you know, like, we can't all be playing a synth and then the other instrument that we want, which
it would be
fun
to see you try.
That's for sure. Right. Yeah, but...
I need to eat with one hand. I'm doing it.
There's crowd
control.
There's definitely a lot of adjustments that get made between the recorded versions versus what gets presented in a live format. There's just some things that you do in a studio that just don't necessarily make sense to do live, or there's some things that you do live that don't really make sense to throw on a recording to have forever.
Sure.
He does the Geddy Lee thing too, where he's doing a bunch of different things, right?
That also would account for the amount of time it took between that gig and now, not just the studio time and the writing, but also the getting those finished studio versions playable. Being able to actually get that stuff show ready takes about at least 2-3 months. So now we're about red hot. It feels like everything's dialed in, but that's taken the whole time period that we mentioned.
Setting up the process, I guess, is what took so long initially. And now it just keeps getting faster and faster and better, I think, each song, right?
Absolutely.
And I guess that's a separate member of the band, basically, having to learn. You probably have to learn to rehearse and practice along with backing tracks. That's got to be different than just the writing process, right?
Al, the laptop.
Actually, we named the laptop. He is the fourth member of the band.
Yeah. Nice. Never complains, always shows up on time. Great. We never get in
front. Never makes a mistake.
No. Flawless.
Sharp attitude, always.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clyde doesn't talk back too much. Yeah, yes. does he get credit on the record? Like, are you giving him an equal billing?
I forgot to add the writing credit.
Oh man, he's gonna be pissed.
Oh man, dude, what if he has like a problem with it?
Yeah.
I think too, having like as a three piece, the way that it is with personality wise, our schedules, everything involved, where we're at musically as individuals, well, it works so well. Like the dynamic between the three of us is awesome. It's like coming to work to a job that we love.
Yeah.
You know, and we get a lot done. It's not just, you know, showing up just to hang out.
A job that doesn't feel like work, which is nice.
Yeah, but we get a lot done and we're driven. All three of us are super motivated and we just want to deliver the best possible performance, the best possible recording, push ourselves, you know, and like you said with Rock Shossi, with your drumming on that, like
the song that we are going to be releasing.
Yeah, second single.
Rock Shossi is definitely one of my most advanced recordings I've ever done. That's the song specifically that we'll be putting out soon. Is probably my favorite piece that I've written so far. It's very challenging and trying, and one of my favorite things I've done.
Is that just from a technical standpoint, or just
Yeah, so like I've got like a lot of electronic patchwork that I'm doing in that song in terms of different pieces besides just drums. Like I've got like a lot of different gear that I get to use with that song specifically. I achieved and pulled off a lot of things that I've been meaning to do for a while. It's kind of a difficult thing, and I'm very proud of it.
That kid is ridiculous.
There's a lot that can go right and a lot that can go wrong with that song. There's like a lot in the balance of the stakes. There's so many things happening in that tune.
Well, I was going to ask about the kid because I've seen some pictures on your social media and it does look absolutely ridiculous. Like the size of that, I mean, I've definitely seen, you know, videos and stuff of people playing kits that big, but for local bands, usually they're pared down considerably. Is it like, I'm assuming that's a deliberate thing, is you want to have this just imposing, massive drum set.
Well, I call it the mothership because it truly is a spaceship that takes off when I get it going. It's nuts. And it's my design. I've been chasing this kind of drum sound for a long time. It's very much symbiotic in the way that the electronic parts can never replace the drums. The drums themselves can never replace the electronic instruments. And they are both key for writing in this band. Not every band does this because not every band needs this kind of stuff, but I try to dare to be great with what I do. And yeah, it takes a little bit of time to put it up on stage, and yeah, it takes a little bit of effort, but I don't give a hoot. I'm here to play. So that's all deliberate.
It honks like a 50-foot goose. People will see the picture I'll show. Hey, check out my cousin's kit. Oh, but does he play all that? I'm like, yes, he uses every single thing, and a lot of the time at once. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's utilitarian. It seems like a lot, but you don't excessive. If you're using it, it'll make sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, I imagine that because it's a limited lineup, in the sense there's only three of you, you probably have to use all that stuff to just kind of flesh out the sound to make it. Because, I mean, listening to the stuff I've heard, it definitely sounds like a lot bigger than only three people, right? So I guess you have to sort of amplify what you're doing considerably on stage.
I like to think it's pretty loud when we get up there. the added benefit of all the backing tracks that we get to use, be it that there is only three of us, it feels like we're playing up there with like a full symphony sometimes, with the amount of synths and all the different instruments.
Even though it's also very full, one of the main things to have to keep in mind though is because there's so many drums and because there's so many layers on the drums, it's important from the writing perspective to not overtake everything that he's doing at any given moment.
Right.
Because if he's going through an interesting drum fill, well, you don't want to have to try to dig through that to find it in all the other layers that are there. You want it to be showcased at that moment. So a lot of the focus is actually on the drums for what's happening for a lot of the decision making, I would say.
That's also to say though, that it's not like, the electronic stuff and all the other aspects are like some of my favorite colors on the easel, but they're not on every song.
Right.
We paint with other acts.
It's like vocals too, with that. Like, some guys, they just want to be all over every single thing all the time. And I like to hang back on a lot of stuff. A lot of the time I find myself listening to these guys, I get transfixed. I'm like, you know what? No, this is a good instrumental part. I'm going to hang back. I'll come back in with a giant chorus or some giant stuff, you know, massive. But yeah.
Yeah.
who is this stuff for? Like, where do you fit in within the local music scene? Because it, by the sounds of things,
that's a good
and
question.
From hearing, you know, I've heard a small amount of your stuff that's been put out already. Yeah, it's hard to place it, I think. And again, this goes back to the genre question, which I don't want to dwell on too much. But I mean, have you sort of figured out where within the local music scene either you fit already or want to fit? Like, is there sort of a goal of maybe other bands that you think would mesh well with what you're doing?
I feel like we are playing in the scene that we are born to, but our goals are set kind of nationally or abroad. It would be cool to play to the world. This sound is for mainly us and our fans that like it. We write for ourselves. Not selfishly, it's just we've always wanted to hear this music and we had to make it to find it. I'm not really doing anything other than art that makes me happy with this band is really what it is. And if anybody else likes it, then come party. It's going to be a good time. It's for you if you like it.
Yeah.
Really. But we write it in the mind of, hey, did you like that? Yeah, sick. Was that cool? Okay, cool. That's the song. That's kind of where we go from our perspective.
Well, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the main things that I do keep in mind for the music, since you say, you know, what is it for us, is I usually keep these two in mind, because it's, is this part that is coming up, is it going to make sense with what else is happening that they're trying to do? So normally the decision making of what's surrounding you, I mean, I think usually pretty immediately. It's not, okay, I'm going to write what I do and then is someone at whatever venue going to enjoy what I'm doing? It's, well, I hope they do. Because
this is
a lot of fun to write. Yeah, exactly. It's, if they don't enjoy it, that's unfortunate. I mean, I enjoy it, and that's kind of that's the whole bottom line. That's what I think people should be writing.
That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold suggested.
I think you're right, though. I do think that is what you should be. If you're creating anything, that should be first and foremost. You should be happy with what it is first, and then, because once you've done it, once it's out in the world, it's out of your hands anyway, right? People are left to their own devices, whether they like it, however they interpret it. So yeah, I mean, you probably have to like it first of all before it goes anywhere else.
Yeah, and we're kind of right now kind of looking for other acts to kind of jump onto bills with, because we don't know kind of what to classify this as, but we can play shows with multiple different styles. One thing I wanted to mention about Josh over here too is he is a good he keeps me and this guy kind of like in check, where we're, you know, because we fly off the handle with wicked ideas and excitement. And as he's trying to execute technically some of the stuff that we first bring up, we're like firing off idea after idea. He's like, guys, slow down. We need to play, you know, to do this right, to get that sound that we all want, kind of thing. So
what he means is normally I'll just ignore them.
Yeah.
Whenever they come up with an idea, I just sit looking at the computer and it's like, hey, here's the original idea they had.
And then we go around full circle. We'll have all these like different ideas. And then he's like, isn't that the thing you guys mentioned initially? Like,
filters out the bad ones just for the good ones.
Just for the good ones. But yeah, no, it's good to have a guy like that kind of doing the thing.
Definitely.
But yeah, we're kind of looking to play outside of the city, inside of the city, outside of the country. I'd like to go to Europe. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see how far you can take a sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously you've been recording, you know, we've touched on that a few times. What is the, what's sort of the plan for the near future with these recordings? When are you releasing them? How are you releasing them? What can people expect if they're maybe hearing you for the first time on here and they want to check out more? Well, what should they be looking out for?
By the time this is aired, our track that we will be debuting,
the second single,
we also be playing on this episode. Actually,
coming
out in the coming month. By the time this airs, it should be out. A track we already have that's also on all streaming platforms is called "Broken Fixer." That's also available to be listened to, and we have a lot of other songs in the works, recordings we're kind of working on currently. Things we plan to release in the near future. There should be a record we plan on doing in the future.
Yeah,
we've got some things we're planning on doing. A lot of shows to announce coming up as well. So we've got.
We're in the process too of shooting a music video, and we have an instrumental track. It's like a drum versus synth sort of idea, and
drum synthetic. They were
drum synthetic with.
They're not battling. They're like flowing with each other.
How does that make you feel?
I like the silence in that response. Just crickets. It's great. It's great.
Is the synthetic in the room with us right now?
Yeah.
Is
it right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, no, the that.
Regardless, it sounds like you have stuff coming up. You have releases, you have singles, yep. You got a record at some point in the hopefully near future.
Yeah.
The good thing about this being a podcast, someone could hear it the day it comes out, at which point, you know, that single will have just been released and people can check that out right away. They might hear it a year from now. What's the best way to sort of keep track on what you're doing as far as upcoming shows, releases? You know, by the time someone hears this, things could have drastically changed. You could have a bunch of songs out. Where should they go online to find you?
We have an Instagram. Our Instagram for our band page is Whalehammer Band. You should be able to find us on there.
Yep. And we're available, like our tracks will be available on Spotify, Apple Music, all the streaming platforms, like the big guys should be Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, all of the main ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless I missed.
Because we went through DistroKid, so they've been pretty good with, like, yeah, we've enjoyed the experience with them.
It's actually just Whalehammer.
Is it?
Well, you know, I'll link to it in the show notes recently. So people can find it. So
absolutely. Just click,
I imagine if you search for Whalehammer, not much else is going to come up. I would assume anyway.
No. And if it does, yeah,
get some whale results probably.
Yeah, probably. Yes. You would get some very strange ones, I think. Yeah. I mean, I host a show called Witch Please. I get the weirdest results when people Google me too. So, it, you know, I get it. We're in the same boat here.
Absolutely.
Was releasing music like via singles, was that always the sort of the plan, is to just sort of slowly put out one song every few weeks or months and sort of ease people into it?
So the original plan was to focus on writing the material to get it to a point that we were all happy with. And then the original, like Broken Fixer, was released as a single just so that if someone asked, what is your act? Instead of trying to say, we're all these genres, we could go listen to this song and figure it out. Or... I think the goal too is we want to do a really high quality album. It's going to take some time and potentially funding, which we're working on. So what we can do in the liminal time out of pocket is definitely some solid quality singles for singles, like you've heard.
We've been piecing it off right now, you know, because we don't have a huge budget at the moment, but we want to do like quality over quantity, and you know, that's why it's kind of a little more slower going. But we'd like to piece these singles into an EP and then after that do a full-length record, like an LP.
We take our time with our art so that way at least when it's ready and it's finished, it's as solid as it possibly could be. So singles one at a time, I think, kind of garners better quality.
Yeah.
We did it all in one batch, then we play those songs live and find new ways to play them and stuff like that. They're already...
Spending more per song versus trying to cram like six songs into that same budget that we spent on one. So we're not like, you know, it's not like a broke ass band. Like we spent a significant amount on that first single and you could tell when you play it.
Right.
Attention spans nowadays seem to be more focused on singular releases at a time before you do put out like a really solid record. So before we have the funding for that,
it also takes 3 hours to set up his kit in the studio.
that's half your budget just shot there.
Exactly. Got a mic that's thing. I got to be happy with how it looks, which takes 2 hours.
I will say this in my defense for being, you know, just the singer guy. Oh, look at this, the guy that shows up with the mic. I load gear, and that kit is a pain in the ass.
I will admit he helps every time.
I do. He's standing there talking, having a coffee. We're lugging gear. We're like, hey, wait a minute. How did he Jedi this shit? You know, it's awesome.
I'm like, don't worry. I got you guys.
I got you.
I'll be right there.
But yeah.
Well, I guess the single thing fits your sort of process too of having all those layers and all those extra elements and sort of, you know, building fairly dense songs.
Yeah, absolutely. Lyrical like stuff too, with just trying to come up, not just from like a surface sort of lyrical thing, but like big into reading, big into classics like books and stuff, right? And coming from an author standpoint and a singer songwriter standpoint.
Okay.
So try not to give into use like super obvious, you know, stuff, or not to be too cliched in that, you know, trying to do the best in that department. And it's hard sometimes because mostly everything's been said and in most ways, right?
Right.
So to do it in a creative and fresh way is ever challenging. And having fresh themes, not repeating yourself, like doing the same theme every single time. So
take your time with each single, or single is the process that we use.
Then usually with writers, you start with what you know, you start with inward, and then you kind of work your way outward into different perspectives or
experiences and that. So that's kind of where we're at. And I think with my experience, like, you know, doing this, like, I'm also a published author and stuff, self-published, mind you, that they call it vanity publishing. But I put still out two books and still publishing. And yeah, from that, I think it makes me an effective part of this band for sure. I definitely carry my own weight and craft sets, do all kinds of stuff behind the scenes too. We all do, actually. We all arrange, we all kind of, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But such is a part of the process. I think if we do everything at that pace, that's why we get the results we do. So
yeah, everybody's working.
Everything works for now, and provided that there's unless a better budget in the future, we could maybe do a bit more workload at the time. Working full-time jobs, all of us, we have to kind of balance.
Balancing it.
This would be our full-time job if that were a choice.
We drill 3 times a week, that's though, right now, as it stands. You know, Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, we're drilling behind this, like, behind this door here in this jam space.
Yeah, we've been doing that for 2 years solid. So it's like
in preparation for the big big reveal. Like, yeah, so it's like training hard for a prize fight, and like when you're ready, and you come out swinging. Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday is just the days that we're together as well. That doesn't include the work that's
behind us.
Yeah, when we're not together,
it's a 7-day-a-week.
Yeah, there's a lot of the way that we perform live and work on our tracks. There is a lot of extra work that has to get done in terms of setting up sessions or preparing songs to be performed live.
Master tracks.
Yeah, there's a lot of extra work that goes in there. And I mean, it's not just me. These guys are also practicing and rehearsing for material as well. So there's
writing, revising, constantly just reworking things, and yeah, on our own time.
And I think it shows now. I'm really, really, like, I'm not, it's being confident, not conceited, but I'm really proud of what we've been doing. I think, you know, it's comes from a genuine place. It's heartfelt. And I think people at our shows will definitely feel that, and they'll love it.
Yeah, it's a labor of love. We've got to take time on something that we enjoy. So I think that's going to come off that way.
Yeah, we have 2 shows booked coming up for June and July. I don't know if we should talk about that.
We should.
Plug them. Let's do it.
First one.
Friday, June 7th at the Osborne Tap House. It's what, Thrillage in the Village Part 2?
Thrillage in the Village. Who are we playing with? We're playing with Book of Ghosts.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be an awesome killer band. And then a newer band, Friends of Friends, Bloodborne, who's also going to be playing with us.
We're headlining that one.
Yeah, we're headlining that one. And then additionally, we're doing a show at Bulldog coming up.
Friday, July 19th. Also headlining. We just got asked with Slushhead. And I forget, they switched the other act on us. It was supposed to be a Canadian technical death metal band, but their tour got shifted. So the venue provided another band. Damn it, I feel bad.
Yet to be announced, but that poster will be released once it's made coming up.
We'll share that
band page coming up when this is out.
Yeah.
So look to the Whalehammer band page to find more about
it. Awesome.
The Slushhead guys, they're also in Solinum, are they not?
Solinum, those are the homies. Those
they're going to be on the show again in about a week or so.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, great right
band,
on.
Great band.
Yeah. You see this, boys? You guys are the shit.
We love you guys, man. Yeah, awesome. For sure.